Hi, welcome to Enkindle Family Scripture Reflections. My name is Kristen, and today we'll be looking at the readings for the second Sunday of Advent, December 4th, 2022. Let's start with prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord, during Advent, we remember all that you have done and all that you will do in preparing for Jesus' first coming at Bethlehem 2,000 years ago, and in preparing for his second coming, whenever that may be. Lord, speak to us through these scriptures that we might be ready for Christmas and for all the ways that Jesus wants to come and be with us and come rescue us until the end of time. We ask all this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Thousands of years ago, there was an Israelite man named Jesse. Now, Jesse had 8 sons, and his youngest son was David. This might sound kind of familiar to you because David is really famous. This David, the son of Jesse, was a teenage shepherd boy who bravely fought a terrible and strong enemy. The enemy was named Goliath. He was a giant, and everyone else in Israel was terrified of Goliath, but not David, because David believed that God was stronger. And so David fought Goliath, and David won. David's victory over Goliath was such a big deal that we are still talking about it 3,000 years later. But before David ever fought Goliath at all, he was chosen by God to be the king of all of Israel. This was really surprising because David was the youngest of all of his brothers, right? So he was a teenager, and he wasn't big and strong like his older brothers yet. And he was a shepherd boy. He was not rich. He was not highly educated. He was not powerful. It's not someone you would expect a king to be. But like God does, he chooses people who are unexpected. And not only that, but God promised that David's house, David's family, would rule the kingdom of Israel forever. So not only would David be king, but his descendants would be kings forever. This was a huge deal because the Israelites up to that point had never been a real kingdom before. They had just been sort of a collection of tribes. They had been praying and asking for a king, and there was a king before David. His name was Saul, but he wasn't very good. But now they would have a real king, and not just a random guy, but a king who would reign, and he and his family would lead their kingdom forever. And this is why kings were important. Most especially because they protected their people from enemies. They rescued their people from danger that enemies brought, right? Enemies bring danger, like Goliath brought danger. But kings rescued their people from enemies. And so we see that from Jesse, David's father, remember Jesse had 8 sons, David's father Jesse was the grandfather and great-grandfather of all the kings who would come. Suddenly, a whole family of kings was promised. And so it's like Jesse was the roots at the base of a giant tree. And out of that tree came a trunk, David, and then branches of kings of Israel. But something happened. After King David died, his son Solomon became king. But after Solomon died, the kingdom split up into 2 kingdoms, a northern kingdom and a southern kingdom. And the northern kingdom was led by one of Solomon's sons, and the southern kingdom was led by the other one of Solomon's sons. Solomon had lots of sons, but 2 of his sons were kings. Suddenly now, instead of one king uniting the kingdom of Israel, there was a split, there was a divide, there were multiple kings. And those kings stopped trying to be holy like David and Solomon. David and Solomon were never perfect, but they did repent when they made a mistake. They recognized that their sin let the enemy, Satan, into their hearts and into their lives. And you can't let an enemy in when you're trying to run a kingdom and when you're trying to be part of a kingdom, right? You have to keep the enemy out. And their sin let the enemy, Satan, in. And they would repent and they would go back to the Lord and say, I'm sorry and I need your help and I want you to be the one who guides me and rules me. Well, Solomon's sons and the ones that came after them, they started sinning more and more, but not repenting as much. And so did their people. And so they started letting the enemy, Satan, in more and more into their hearts and their lives. And when we let Satan into our hearts and our lives, it causes a whole mess of problems. And the sins of Israel led to their earthly enemies being able to come in too. Not long after the kingdom split into two, the northern kingdom of Israel was conquered by their enemies and destroyed. And the southern kingdom struggled too. And about 150 years after the northern kingdom fell, the southern kingdom fell to their enemies too. It was the end of the kings and the kingdom of Israel because they had let their enemies in. It was as if that tree of kings rooted in David's father, Jesse, had been cut down. And it seemed like God had forgotten his promise that David and his family would be kings forever. But in Advent especially, all year long, but in Advent especially, we are reminded that God never, ever forgets his promises. Even when things look bleak and dark, even when we are the ones who are at fault, which is always the case, right? We let the enemy in. We know that God has not and will not abandon us. Even when things look entirely dead and hopeless, like a tree that's been cut down and now is just a stump, God is still working. And so we hear in the first reading from the prophet Isaiah, out of the stump of Jesse, a new shoot will sprout. Out of the roots of Jesse, which look dead and defeated, a new bud will blossom. God knew that the Israelites would lose their kings and their kingdom. God knew that they kept letting the real enemy, Satan, into their hearts and that that would lead to a big old mess. He knew that they would fear that God had abandoned them, even though what really happened was that they had abandoned God. But God will never abandon them. So he sent Isaiah the prophet to talk about the king who would be coming. Not just one of David's great-great-great-great-great-great-grandchildren, but someone even greater than that. A king who would reign forever and bring peace that lasts. A king who would still be part of Jesse and David's family, but one who would be the Messiah, the Savior, the one who would rescue them and all of us from our greatest enemy. The Israelites prayed and prayed that God would restore their kingdom, that he would once again give them a king. And that is why John the Baptist's words in the gospel are so exciting. He says, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Right? The kingdom of heaven. Repent, stop sinning. Stop letting Satan, the very worst enemy, even worse than Goliath, stop letting that enemy into your hearts and your lives, because now, finally, after so many years of waiting and hoping and watching, Israel, God is raising up the true king, the descendant of David, the one who will conquer the enemy once and for all, the one who will rule with justice and peace, the one who is powerful and good beyond anything anyone has ever seen before. My friends, this message is for you and for me during Advent and during every moment of our lives. God never forgets his promises and he will never abandon us. He has sent his son Jesus, born at Christmas in Bethlehem, which by the way is the same town that David was from. God has sent Jesus to conquer the enemy and rescue us. But we have to stop letting that enemy into our hearts and our lives. That enemy is Satan, and he is worse than Goliath. Each of us has to choose to allow ourselves to be rescued by Jesus, the real king, who will conquer Satan once and for all, who has done it and will do it in our own lives, but we have to give him permission. This second Sunday of Advent, let's tell God about anything and everything that feels hopeless for us, that maybe feels like a dead tree stump, right? Like the stump of Jesse, like there's no hope there. This second Sunday of Advent, let's hear John the Baptist speaking directly to each of us. The kingdom of God is at hand. Jesus is the king, and he will rescue us, and he will renew all that seems lost and hopeless. But all of that requires something from us. The second week of Advent, let's hear John the Baptist say to us, repent. Go to reconciliation. It matters. It makes a difference. It's real. It allows us to kick the enemy out of our hearts and our lives, to get Satan out of there and to say to the Lord, like Solomon and King David did, I am not perfect, Lord, and I'm sorry I let the enemy in. I need your help. Rescue me. Make room in your heart for King Jesus, the new shoot that will grow out of the stump of Jesse, so that he can reign in power and goodness and peace in our lives forever. Lord Jesus, this second Sunday of Advent, we beg you for the grace to desire to repent. Lord, we beg for your Holy Spirit to help us see just how awful the enemy truly is and how disgusting and miserable, so that we might be even more inspired to kick him out of our hearts and welcome you in to reign as King forever. We ask all this through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.